So sad news today, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Very sad, Jim.
We learned earlier today of the passing of Grant Hart.
Yeah.
Formerly of Husker Du.
Yeah, the drummer and a solo career of his own after that band was over, and only 56 years old.
Yeah.
Passed away after a battle with cancer. Yeah, it's really sad news. And I was particularly touched by the amount of people who really this news impacted, and kind of how it was spreading online. Husker Du is a band that just really touched a lot of people.
I think we saw that earlier this week when we had an episode about Bob Mould and Sugar.
Yes.
And just got really tremendous response.
Yeah.
On that. You're right. The band and its, you know, members really, you know, touched a lot of, you know, music fans.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do on this episode of Rock in the Suburbs is we're going to, you know, remember Grant Hart a little bit.
Yeah.
We originally had something else planned for today, but we will do that at a, you know, have that episode up at
yeah.
a later date.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about Grant Hart a little bit. So I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And Patrick, what, so you mentioned, you know, Grant Hart being, you know, the drummer in Husker Du, and I think most, you know, of our listeners probably know, but if you don't know, I mean, Husker Du in the 80s, a punk band out of Minneapolis, and really more than a punk band, you know, really kind of almost, you know, kind of took punk and they sort of started in hardcore, I guess you would say, but it really sort of took punk into what, you know, we then later think of sort of like alternative music. I mean, they really
That's right.
kind of almost created a lot of ways kind of like this template of like sort of the loud slashing buzzy guitars with, you know, strong like pop melodies and hooks mixed in with that, right? And it created a over time as it developed, it really created this kind of unique sound that then later was, you know, copied by many, many other bands.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, Grant Hart being the drummer, but really much more than that. I think, you know, not that being a drummer is a bad thing, but I think when, you know, with most bands, you say like the guy was the drummer, you think, well, you know, he's not, he's involved in like one specific aspect of the
yeah.
music. But in this case, Grant Hart really, you know, which was sort of a co-leader with Bob Mould,
mm-hmm.
Did probably about half the songwriting, sang about half the songs.
Yep.
I mean, they really were sort of like the Lennon and McCartney sort of,
yeah.
you know, duo, you know, in this band. And, you know, was, I think, just sort of like hugely important to the, you know, the college rock and the alternative music scene of that time.
You know, absolutely. That's well said, Jim. And I think that, you know, like you said, Husker Du started out, one of their early records was called Land Speed Record. You know,
mm-hmm.
they played super fast. They were a trio that was kind of finding their way. But Grant Hart stood a lot of those sort of hardcore conventions on their head. And it made a big impression on me when I first saw him with that long hair. You know, and like barefoot, he was always seemed to be like he was barefoot. I think he played drums barefoot a lot, and he was a different kind of, you know, personality, and his hair would like fly around when he was playing the drums, yet he was playing in this hardcore band with, you know, speed and rigidity and playing on all these SST bills with the, you know, the Meat Puppets and Black Flag. And, you know, they could hang with both of those bands who were very different bands,
yep.
right? Because of their breadth and they were a huge inspiration to one of my all-time favorite bands, the Minutemen, in the sense of the way they conducted their business, and they went out on six-month tours and played every night, and they worked really, really hard. Yet they were a band of individuals, and Grant, you know, lived a tumultuous life. There was a lot of talk about when Husker Du made the leap to the major labels, to Warner Brothers, you know, that his personal problems had something to do, you know, with the demise of that band.
That's right.
And, you know, I don't know that that's true, and it's probably hard to say. I mean, you know, maybe Bob and Greg Norton are the only ones that really truly know the answer to that question. But he was a conflicted individual. He lived life right on the edge, and there was always a sense of melancholy and tragedy about him, I think.
I think there was, but yet outwardly he seemed, you know, kind of like always kind of smiley and
yeah,
goofy all the time,
right.
you know, and just
yeah.
and seemed like a fun guy, you
mm-hmm.
know, whereas mm-hmm. Bob Mould was much more serious, much, much more, right?
Exactly. And Grant sang some of the more melodic and upbeat songs in, you know, right. in the catalog, right?
So you mentioned drumming, and a lot of times he's singing while he's doing
I
it,
know.
You know? And
yeah.
the guy was really a master on the snare drum. I mean, the way he would play these fills and these beats that were just so fast.
Yeah.
Largely just on the snare sometimes, yeah. and it was really kind of amazing what he could do.
And think about that band again visually with a bass player, you know, with like a handlebar mustache, right? And him and Grant locked into those incredible rhythms that just allowed Bob Mould's guitar to like peel the paint off the room, you know, no matter what kind of song they were playing with that flying V down below his knees. And I remember seeing Husker Du in the mid, well, probably closer to the late 80s, probably like 87 or something like that in Charlottesville, Virginia, and playing in a like little student recreation hall and not even really on a stage, just up on a little 2-foot thing back there in the corner. And you know, they came in and they looked like they'd been on the road for about 6 months. You know, they looked dirty and they looked straggly and they looked tired. But as soon as they got up on stage, something happened that kind of electrified them. And Grant Hart was the machine right at the heart of that, churning out on drums.
You know, it's easy to sort of overlook Grant Hart in a lot of ways today just because of, you know, the fact that Husker Du broke up in like 88.
Yeah.
And although, you know, Grant Hart recorded some solo records, he did not have the same level of success that Bob Mould had. I mean, Bob Mould has had a really, you know, a very strong career
mm-hmm.
post-breakup. And so I think what ends up happening then for a lot of people is then they look back at Husker Du and they say, well, that's Bob Mould's band.
Exactly.
And even I think that way a lot of the time. And
yeah.
even, you know, today as I was going back and listening to some of these records, I was like, oh my God, these Grant Hart songs are so great. You know, I even kind of had forgotten that. So why don't we play one of his songs here from a classic album?
Yeah. Jim, Turn on the News from Zen Arcade.
Yep.
Many reasons I love that song, but there are two that stick out to me. And right there, you can hear the classic Husker Du template, right? With that sort of melodic phrase thrown up against that buzzsaw sheets of guitar that are just cascading down around you everywhere. One reason I love that song, it's because it sort of cleansed your palate when you were listening to this record before you go into the 14 minutes of Recurring Dreams. That's just a harrowing end to this, you know, what many people call the first like punk, you know, opera or rock opera. I mean, it was a double album by a hardcore band on SST in 1984.
Right.
Like, stunning. The second reason I really love this song is Grant sings with a real Paul Stanley kind of lilt here. You know, he really sounds like prime Paul Stanley, and being such a big Kiss fan, I've just always loved that about, you know, and I think at this point in Zen Arcade, you really started to distinguish Bob and Grant
yep.
a little bit more. This one and New Day Rising are the two where they really, you know, you could really start to see things on New Day Rising. It's Books About UFOs is, you know, a kind of a jangly, you know, little piano speckled Grant song. But this one to me, it's really a hidden, you know, a nice little bright moment at the end of, even though the lyrics are certainly not bright.
Right.
But it is kind of a, you know, a shout along thing. It's a song that you know, would do the Foo Fighters proud, I think, in many ways. And it's just a, it's a great way to get ready for the harrowing end of this record, like I said.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, I love it. Pink Turns to Blue is the other big one on Zen Arcade. That's a great, great Grant Hart song.
Yes, okay. So I want to take us a little bit further down, and this was kind of a little bit of a revelation again for me today. So after I heard the news, then I'm at work at the day job, and I'm sort of streaming some of the Husker Du stuff. And the thing I kind of forgot was that in the two Warner Brothers albums that they did, so, you know, the last album for SST was Flip Your Wig, and that had the song Makes No Sense at All,
yes,
which, as we discussed earlier in the week, was really sort of like the closest thing that they had to like what you would consider to be a potentially like radio friendly single,
that,
right?
That I mean, was it's as close as they got. Yeah,
it's really just it's a pop gem.
It really is.
It's just amazing, and that's a Bob Mould song. So then they get signed to Warner Brothers, and you would think that a major label would, you know, because it's what major labels do, sort of assert their influence on, you know, this new band that they just signed and say, well, you know, Bob Mould, we can tell you, it sounds like you can write hit songs, you know, write the next record or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did not happen that way at all. In fact, the last two albums, they, Bob and Grant pretty much split songwriting. And even the songs alternate between their two.
That's right.
You know, songwriting credits and their voices.
Think of something like Warehouse, right? Where it's really alternating. Yeah,
right. In Bob Mould's autobiography, he does write about the fact that Grant, part of the reason why Grant really kind of stepped up and wrote even more songs as the career went on was because he realized you get the money in publishing, right? So
it was pretty shrewd that way.
The more because the publishing rights were not just like credited to the band the way like REM did or things like that, right? The more songs you could write and get on the record, the more royalties you'd get from the sales of that record. So there was that. Yeah. But also, you know, as we said too, but I also think they had sort of an internal sort of like competition and competitive spirit between the two.
Which was healthy, I think, for the band, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, yes and no.
Well, at least for the fans, I guess.
That's right.
We reaped the benefits of that.
That's right. Eventually, it, you know, kind of had to, you know, sort of self-destruct based on that or collapse under its own weight.
Yeah.
But okay, so Flip Your Wig, Makes No Sense at All, Bob Mould, pop songwriter, and then you go to Warner Brothers. They put out Candy Apple Gray, and the first single was a Grant Hart song. Isn't that funny how that worked out?
It is amazing.
And here's the thing. It's an incredible, incredible song.
A fantastic song, and you know, kind of like you said earlier when we were preparing for this, I had kind of forgotten about this song, but it's a really a wonderful tune.
Yeah, so it's called Sorry Somehow, and I mean, even lyrically, it's really great because it's about this guy who's sort of defiant about how he's not going to apologize. There isn't anything to apologize for. But yet in the chorus, you know, I'm still finding myself sorry somehow.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's so wonderful. Yeah,
you know, really sort of a nice, you know, sort of tender song in a way. But, you know, and then just listen to that you know, again, that sort of like pop sensibility. Like if you stripped away, you know, all the guitars and the distortion and, you know, pump up the vocals a little bit more or that kind of thing. I mean, it sounds like the kind of song that you might hear like in the 70s on the radio.
No, you're exactly
like that,
right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. It could, you know, it could fit right into the middle of that. You're exactly right. The interesting about the Warner Brothers records, and I was doing a little more refreshing in my memory this afternoon, but I love the way they recorded the drums on a lot of those records. The guitars, I don't think were as successful for me anyway. They weren't just quite as raw for the most part.
That's right.
But and they worked in some other instruments and touches, you know, because they had the money and they had the studio. But I really like the way they recorded the drums, and his playing comes through really well on a bunch of those records.
The other thing I particularly like about this song, as opposed to many of the other Grant Hart songs, I mean, a lot of his stuff is just, you know, it's really great, sort of like, again, sort of catchy, like pop music.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, I think as a listener, one of the main things that comes through is Bob Mould's guitar. The guitar sort of so dominates the songs, and you wonder yourself, like, well, I know Grant wrote the song, but did he write these guitar parts?
Yeah.
You know, so then it sort of becomes, you know, I guess you'd say it's a collaboration, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But again, it's like I think you start to maybe not give Grant Hart his due or the credit he deserves because it sort of becomes Bob's thing. The nice thing, I'm sorry, somehow, is the guitar is very sort of understated.
It really
is. It's not
is.
A big part of the song. Yeah. And so you really just, you know, Grant Hart's contribution just comes through loud and clear.
Yeah. It sounds like one he could have, you know, maybe he almost wrote it on the piano, like you never know. Right. And speaking of the guitar, you know, I don't know if this is a lot of people, you know this is common knowledge. I had sort of forgotten about it until I was doing some reading today. But, you know, Grant led another band for about 4 or 5 years after the demise of Husker Du and after his first couple solo records called Nova Mob, where he was the guitar player. You know, he actually played guitar in that band and had a, you know, kind of a rock band around him. Again, like you said at the open, not nearly as successful or as well known as what Bob did in his solo work, but it's a, you know, it was an effort by him to kind of get up there and lead a band.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. And we have a Grant Hart song that we're going to play,
yeah.
A solo song, right? That we're going to play for
okay,
at the end here. Okay. So just to wrap up really quickly. This is Rock in the Suburbs, and you know, you can hear us on all the podcast places, but we also want to hear from you. So if you have memories of Husker Du, Grant Hart,
that would be great.
You know, any of that stuff, that'd be fantastic. The way you can do that is you can call us and you can leave a message. The number is 612-440-1984, or you can email us. That is rock@suburbspod.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram @SuburbsPod, and you can, you know, message us or leave comments, notes, posts, whatever you do at those places. So what are we going to hear?
Well, Jim, and I want to echo your sentiment that I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there have Husker Du memories or Grant Hart memories, and I'm sure some of our Midwestern friends especially do. So we'd love to hear from you and share that, and we'll share those with everybody else. But after the demise of Husker Du, like you said, in sometime, I think it was near the end of 1988, Grant Hart put out a solo record on SST, and it was the title track. The EP was called 2541, and it was a song about an address of an apartment in Minneapolis, and basically uses that apartment to kind of outline the, I guess, demise of a relationship, really, is a way to put it. It's become quite a well-known, you know, song among connoisseurs of his music, and it was once covered by Marshall Crenshaw, which I find to be really, really interesting. Like, when Marshall Crenshaw covers your song, it's probably a pretty good song. The guy's a student of music history.
He knows something about pop music.
Yeah, he does. So that's a high compliment, and so that, I thought that would be appropriate. It's kind of a melancholy tune, and, you know, Grant and Bob Mould met in a record store when Grant was working there, and Bob would come in, and that's kind of how, you know, the nucleus of Husker Du formed. And, you know, there is a tinge of melancholy and kind of wistfulness about this song that kind of brings things, you know, kind of full circle, at least in my mind.
Okay. So the song is 2541. And I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll play out with this, and then we'll talk to you guys next week.
Jerry gave us a number, and Jerry gave us a place to stay. And Billy got hold of a van, and oh man, we moved in the very next day to 2541. Big windows to let in the sun. 2541. Well, I put down that money.
Rest in power, Grant Hart.
Rest in power.